This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There are many ways to learn history. Textbooks, journals and diaries, audio recordings, and photographs, especially early photographs like real photo postcards. What a story they tell. David Tinder has been collecting early Michigan photographs of all types for some 40 years now. His collection of some 100,000 vintage images will be preserved at the University of Michigan Clements Library. David Tinder is with us today. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here with us today, David.
Thank you, Cindy.
And we welcome back Clayton Lewis, curator of graphic material at the Clements Library at the University of Michigan. The last time you were in here on Stateside, we were talking about what it's like to know in this age of selfies and constant photographs that you might be taking one photograph in your entire life, and you better make it count. And here we are talking about the David V. Tinder collection now of Michigan photography. How significant is this?
It's very significant, Cindy, in that research libraries like the Clements Library are shaped by individual collectors more than anything, people who are passionate about a topic or a subject like Dave and have amassed a resource that is unique. And when it comes to the University of Michigan and is available for scholarship, it changes the shape of scholarship. And this is a wonderful example of that. It means a lot to the library.
What era are we covering?
The 1840s into the middle of the 20th century, with particular strength in the 19th century from about 1860 to 1900.
And there are so many kinds of images we're talking about. Give us an idea.
Portrait photography, views of places, people at work, on the job, architecture, agriculture. There's so many topics within the collection, it's really hard to make a comprehensive list of them.
Well, I'm very interested, Dave Tinder. How did a project engineer and an engineering manager for a number of auto suppliers become such an important collector of early Michigan photography?
Well, I was a collector of other things, but as far as photography is concerned, it started in 1964. Bill Darrow wrote a book called Stereo Views.
I remember those at my library, the wooden stereo optic. You'd put it in, slide it, and you'd get a sense
Others
of that.
Others may remember the Viewmaster.
I had that too, yes.
I bought this book, and it just resonated with me. So I started buying stereo views from all over the world. And 3 years later, I had like 30,000 of them. And a friend of mine at a estate sale in Highland Park got hold of a number of Detroit City directories in the 1870s, 1880s, and loaned them to me. And I found out that I could learn something about the photographers, what business they were in, where they lived, these photographers who had taken the stereo views that I had collected, some of them.
So that started to turn your mind toward Michigan photographers,
yes,
and Michigan images.
Right. So I started trading off these international stereo views for Michigan stereo views, and then got interested in other formats.
What are some of these other formats?
Number one would be what we call CDVs, carte de visites, or card photographs. Most of them are portraits of individuals.
So these are different than the postcards we know in 2015.
Right. And a lot of these were of commercial editions of pictures of famous people, actresses, actors, politicians, and royal people, and so on.
So it gives us a sense, doesn't it, Clayton, of what mattered to people in the 19th century in Michigan?
It does, because people would come to the photo studio where these portraits were taken with their best clothes on and expecting to come away with an image that represented themselves to their community and their family in the way that they would like to be seen.
And these postcards, the real photo postcards, what do those tell us?
Those are fascinating because they cover so many aspects of American life. The postcard photograph was used by professional photographers and amateur photographers, and they could be everyday occurrences, photos of natural disasters, the aftermath of a flood or a tornado, or it could be people in their backyard having dinner. It could be almost anything in that format. It's one of the things that's intriguing about the postcard photographs. It's also a real challenge for archivists because there's so broad a range of topics within the collection.
Well, as you describe these, Clayton, and tell me if I'm wrong, it sounds like it's like the ancestor of the kind of photographs that so many of us are taking on our smartphones, because the ability to take photos and video on our phones basically has turned everyone into reporters if needs be. And you see pictures of disasters, you see the home video of whatever.
I think that's an apt comparison in the way they were used also, because these were something that could be dropped in the mail and sent to somebody the way we would email a photo or post it to social media today. And they were sometimes very casual and playful in the way that we use digital photography today.
Did you have a sense, David, as you were acquiring – so by the early 70s, you're focusing on Michigan and right. you acquire and you clearly are – a very committed collector. Did you have a sense of creating a large body of work, or were you just buying things because you liked them?
Probably a little bit of both. I was buying what I liked quite early. I did have a sense that I was creating what we have heard as a critical mess.
A critical mess.
That's a term we like.
And you actually, once the connection was made between you, Dave Tinder, and the Clements Library, there was some work to do as far as archiving and organizing.
Yes, it's my job security, in fact. It's an ongoing process. It's been going for about 7 years, and we're by no means done. When you're dealing with large numbers like this, a collection of past 100,000 images total, it's slow going. And we don't have a huge staff. Mm-hmm. But we are working is to get as much of this in front of the public as soon as we can through our online finding aids and also with digitization. But yes, it is a daunting challenge for an archivist.
We're talking about the very daunting and large collection of vintage Michigan images that is the collection of David Tinder, who's been at this for over 40 years, putting all of these kinds of images together. David's with us, as is Clayton Lewis, who's curator of graphic material at the Clements Library at the University of Michigan. And you have brought some of the images that jump out at you, because I'm sure trying to pick favorite images is just impossible. Give me some sense, Clayton. You see lots of different images in your work at the Clements. Give me some of the ideas of some of the things that have really jumped out at you.
Well, it's hard to pick out of a collection that big, but here are four very different photos. The first one mm-hmm. is a very early daguerreotype self-portrait by a Michigan photographer, and we believe through Dave's research that this is probably the earliest known photo of a Michigan photographer. And as you can see in the image, he's holding a signboard in front of him that identifies who he is, where he took the picture. His name, John Hoag of Lansing, Michigan, and he's dated it 1849.
So well before the Civil War.
So this is, in addition to being a beautiful artifact in itself, it is a tremendous document of the emergence of professional photography in the state of Michigan. And this is something that Dave is our world's authority on. He has studied this subject more than anybody else and compiled his research in his directory of early Michigan photographers, yeah. And this is a star item.
We might mention that this directory is online. All you got to do is Google directory of early Michigan photography, and there it is.
So you get a sense
and
of
it's free.
And who these people were making these images.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this covers them by territory. It's there are lists for each town, and then there are biographies of each of the photographers.
Were there any women photographers in that
oh,
early
yes.
image? Oh, right. Were there? Yeah.
Probably 3 or 4% of the professional photographers were women.
Fascinating. What else do you have?
A photograph in stereo. It's two images taken simultaneously with a two-lens camera. Mm-hmm. And this is a view of the ore docks in Marquette taken in the late 1860s by a very prolific photographer named Bernard Childs. And I love this example because of how much you can extract from the picture. For example, the angles of the shadows tell us that this was probably taken about the time of the equinox.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there's no ice packing the harbor means that this would be the fall equinox and not the spring up in Marquette. You can see there's a cannon in the foreground left over from the Civil War when protecting the ore docks in
yes.
Marquette was a national priority. There's a couple of ships out there at the dock. One of them's riding high in the water. The other one's low. Mm-hmm. So one of them's full, and the other one's waiting to be filled. And then in the very foreground, you can see there's a shadow of a very large box camera and the photographer, and that's Mr. Childs. He's made this into a self-portrait on top of everything else.
Well, this is fabulous because we just did a whole segment on Stateside about the Marquette ore docks, and we've seen I know that one's still standing, but to see it when it was at its heyday being used, that is exciting. We're going to have to make sure we get that online so people can see that. I love this barn-raising photograph.
This was taken near Dexter, Michigan, by a photographer named Henry Skaden, and this was probably from the 1890s, based on Dave's research of when he was in business in this area in Washtenaw County. I didn't know I had an interest in barn raisings until I saw how many photos there were in Dave's collection that were dramatic and compelling, like this one, of a community that is gathered for this event. And as I look at this photo, you see more and more people and more details within it.
You do. You really do. Any idea where this barn was and if it's still standing?
In Washtenaw County, almost for certain, but I don't know exactly which barn it was. A lot of these still stand.
It is a great photograph, and it really gives people who have not seen the bones and muscle of a barn a real beautiful sense of what that structure is like. And I love the fact that there's about a dozen of the builders perched right at the very top having a lunch break.
There is an inscription on the back of the photo down near the bottom corner where the photographer is referred to his Aunt Elsie,
yes.
And this photo was apparently sent to her by the photographer. So It makes you wonder that his aunt was somehow in the photo, perhaps, or related to this event.
And now you have a family photo that, honestly, I look at this photo, and we will make sure we take a picture and be able to put it online so our listeners can see this photo. Honestly, without any changes, it could be a contemporary family photo, mom and a couple of adorable kids.
I would think this is a photo taken in Detroit in the 1920s, perhaps.
Later 20s or early 30s.
Early 30s. At first glance, it's a fairly ordinary-looking family photo, but then you start to notice the boys could be twins. They look so much alike,
they do.
And they're dressed alike, and they've got their arms around this pedal tractor that they apparently both feel proprietary towards. The looks on their faces is a little tense, and there's some anxiety maybe about the pedal tractor or something else.
Or having their picture taken, perhaps. Hard to know.
But then finally, the last thing that people tend to notice is the mother, who was not actually present at the time the photo of the boys was taken. She was double exposed in. Photoshopped in to make a composite family photo out of separate images. And it makes it a very haunting family picture. We don't know who these people were, and we really don't know the backstory, but yet it communicates to us all the same.
Oh.
And of course, there's no father in the picture
I
either.
I wanted to point that out. It's the mother and these two little boys that I would put money on, too, that they're identical twins.
It's on a molded cardboard to give it a sort of a three-dimensional volume, and originally, I'm sure it was in a frame behind glass on somebody's wall.
Sure, and it does say family from Detroit's Black Bottom neighborhood, which was sadly a neighborhood lost to urban renewal in the 60s, and that is a great, great photo. What have you learned as you pour through these images, especially these photographs of families and of people? David, what do you think as you look at those faces?
Certainly one of the things is this is the way we lived. It is similar, but it's very different than the way we live today.
Yeah.
As Clayton has mentioned, there's so much in the collection that you get a very broad feeling of how life was.
How would you describe the Michigan of these photographs that you've collected, these images?
It's a great state with a lot of different things of interest about it, but still the same in many ways.
Yeah. What about you, Clayton? As you look at these, how would you describe that Michigan of these images?
One of the things that comes through, particularly in these early stereos from the 19th century, is the economic boom that Michigan experienced at that time through mining and lumber and the expanding railroads and transportation. And a lot of that comes through. The photographers, as Dave has pointed out in his directory, tended to follow the booms of the lumber industry and the mining industry. And they were there not only to document the businesses, but also to make some money taking portraits of the workers and the families.
And knowing that these are all going to be digitized and all saved, and they will all be available when we are all long gone to that great dark room in the sky, you know that people will be able to be learning from those. David Tinder, his collection of some 100,000 images from early Michigan photographers being preserved in the process of at the Clements Library at the University of Michigan, and Clayton Lewis is curator of graphics material at the Clements Library. Thank you so much to both of you for sharing these with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
us. Pleasure.
Support for arts and culture coverage on Stateside comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.